This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Taking Root campaign started in 2013 to address the historic loss of our region's tree canopy. By planting trees and better managing our local forest, and it's holding its second annual tree summit on January 31st. Here to talk about how far along the effort is in reaching its goal to plant 2 million trees by 2020 and to provide a preview of the Green Tree Summit 2015 are Brewster Rhodes, Executive Director of Green Umbrella Regional Sustainability Alliance, Jennifer Gulick, Senior Urban Forestry Consultant with the Davie Resource Group and the co-chair of the Taking Root campaign, and Scott Berline, Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden horticulturist and chairman of Taking Root. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Scott, Brewster, Jennifer, great to see you this afternoon. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, tell us about the situation that's spurred Taking Root's tree planting campaign. How much damage has been done to the region's tree canopy?
Quite a bit. You know, just with ash borer alone, which came to the area, what, I guess, 5 years ago. You know, it, depending on what part of town you're in, you're losing anywhere from 10 to 40% of the trees in your neighborhood and green spaces and parks everywhere. So it's huge. When you start to add up that many trees, I've heard figures of 40 million in the tri-state or more. So, you know, you start to extrapolate what that does to the ecosystem, what it does to stormwater, what it does to shade, energy, communities. It's huge.
Yeah, trees are such a beneficial thing, and losing them is a bad deal.
Sort of like, you know, you don't miss your water till your well runs dry, and with trees, it's much like that. They're kind of taken for granted when you have them, and then you miss them when they're gone.
Brewster, how serious a situation is this? Is this one of the worst tree crises we've ever seen?
Well, I certainly defer to Scott and Jenny to outline the scientific nature and the actual data and stats here, but there's no question that people now see in their own backyards, in parks, driving along interstates, the devastation that the Asian long-horned beetle in some parts of the region, but especially the ash borer, creating for our tree canopy. And one of the major assets we have in greater Cincinnati is this incredible canopy of trees in the city, which is about 38 to 39% the city of Cincinnati compared to Chicago, which has 17% tree canopy, and Seattle's just 23%. The city of Cincinnati has almost 40%. Hamilton County has 43% tree canopy, and the same thing in Northern Kentucky, an extensive canopy, which provides incredible environmental benefits and stormwater retention, habitat, cooling impact. And to the extent that set of natural assets we have is threatened, this is a problem for our entire region.
Hey, you know, Brewster, you're right. I've seen it on a personal level. It's hitting home with a lot of people. I mean, my yard alone, my little half-acre yard, I've lost three huge trees to the emerald ash borer or some other type of invasive species. So this is a widespread problem, isn't it?
Well, it's affecting so many folks. Maybe you can talk to just about anybody in any party or on the street, and they'll tell you their personal story.
Have we lost a lot of the trees that were planted in neighborhoods along streets and smaller parks, Jennifer? Is that a problem?
Yes, but we're losing them everywhere. And it is not, I want people to understand, it's not just the emerald ash borer or ALB doing it. There's other pressures on our forests, like the deer, mm-hmm. and construction damage, development, just improper tree care of our mature trees. So it's kind of like a perfect storm happening, and I think we're realizing it, and it certainly is very dramatic with the insects that have arrived in our area. But we have been losing our trees. There's a lot of pressures and threats on our trees right now.
Sad part about it, I'm sorry to
no, go right ahead.
In, but you know, a lot of communities are forced to use tree planting budgets that were set aside to plant trees to remove trees because of the problems with dead trees, with ash, and other things. So in some ways, it's, you know, it's setting us back with trees that exist. It's also costing us trees that would have been planted.
Scott, it's not just invasive insects, though. There are some invasive plants that are causing problems as well, aren't there?
Yeah, certainly around here, you can't go 5 feet without tripping over an emu or honeysuckle. You know, and that puts a lot of pressure, especially on green space trees. You know, it's competition for light, nutrients, water, and you know, they're effective at shading out seedlings even. So it's difficult for the forest to regenerate with honeysuckle especially.
Just parenthetically, wife and I took a short vacation to Western Ontario this past summer, and I was shocked. As you walk through some of the national and state parks up there, there's no honeysuckle, I realize. That's why that you could see, you know, through the tree canopy, and, you know, as you're walking along, you can see 200 feet ahead of you, and it just makes the invasion of honeysuckle in our entire region just so much more impactful when you realize not every place in America has like honeysuckle that. Everywhere like we do here.
Jennifer, can you talk about the recent urban tree canopy assessment and the mapping that was done and what that showed?
Sure. And that occurred in northern Kentucky. And but as Brewster said, Cincinnati did it as well. So just recently, I mean, just literally months ago, the Northern Kentucky Urban Forest, Urban and Community Forestry Council conducted a project to map every single tree in the three counties. And so that was accomplished, and all that data and mapping is available. It's in the hands of decision makers and communities right now. So we have a lot of great recent data now showing where our tree canopy is. And it was so precise, it shows, you know, a crabapple on a sidewalk. So overall, the Northern Kentucky counties, as Brewster said, have about 37-35% tree canopy. And, you know, that's pretty good. But there, if you look at the map, you can see distinct areas that don't have any, because that's just an average. And those areas that don't have, you know, maybe 10% tree canopy, that's where our people live. Those are the communities. We're probably where we need trees the most to help with stormwater and air quality and just quality of life in general.
You know, a friend of mine was telling me that one of the most interesting things he'd ever seen visually was if you fly low over I-75 and you look down on the trees that surround the interstate, you can actually see the path of damage that's been done by the different invasive species that have moved into the area. And it's a stark image. He says a lot of that canopy is gone.
Yes, that bird's eye view is critical, and that's why that urban tree canopy assessment, or we call it a UTC, is so telling. We now have visual maps that we can take to people into meetings and show them. Because when you're on the ground, you just see what's in front of you and what's above you, and you can't get that perspective. But when you have that perspective, it's very dramatic. And you can kind of get that with our hillsides around here. When you're driving on the roads, you can just look up at the hillsides above you and see swaths of dead trees.
And if I could just say, Mark, I appreciate you mentioning on the side of interstates, especially those that have recently been rehabbed, like 75 going north, right from downtown, you can see, you know, obviously they redid the roadway and had to change alignments. But one of the prices we've all paid as a community is that a minimum of 5,000 trees, as many as 10,000, and some are small and some are big, were taken down between downtown and Mitchell Avenue to actually do that construction redo of 75, which has a huge impact on air quality, on sound, and stormwater runoff along the east side of 75. So a number of us are starting to think through what would it look like if the community mobilized corporations, volunteers to help plant in cooperation with ODOT and Cincinnati Parks and others, trees along the sides of the interstates in areas that were legal to reestablish that canopy along 75.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Scott, how much of a problem is because people are planting non-hardy decorative trees or maybe even planting trees in wrong places?
It's a problem. It's not the biggest problem we face by any means. But, you know, one thing that the landscape industry, the nursery industry, is really trying to stress is planting the right tree in the right place. And whether that is simply a matter of height, planting a lower tree under wires, or whether it's, you know, planting the right tree in a wet location or a dry location, good soils versus bad. There's a lot of things to factor into a tree. You figure that a tree has a lifespan of anywhere from 25 to 300 years in an urban landscape situation or at your home. It's worth doing the kind of homework to pick out the right tree to plant. You know, it should deserve sort of the same amount of time and consideration that you might put into a car, purchasing a car or something like that.
Jennifer, is this a crisis that's going to get worse if it's not addressed? It's going to keep going?
Yeah. Yes. In my opinion, yes. We have this increase of invasive insects. Diseases are creeping in. And unless we address diversity in our landscape, because that's just like the elms way back when in the 20s. We had Dutch elm disease and we lost all our elms. That was because it was a monoculture and we planted, we loved elms, so we planted a lot of them. Well, we love ash as well, and it's a native species. And then this exotic insect comes in and we have a lot of ash. So that's a monoculture. So we need to address these issues in a variety of ways. And one of the biggest ways that we can do that is by planting a diversity of species and making sure a diversity, and we are planting great numbers of trees, because we definitely have to make up for the losses that we're experiencing.
Scott, Taking Root's trying to achieve a pretty big goal, planting 2 million trees by 2020. Now, I'm curious, why 2 million?
We chose that number because there's 2 million people living in the 8-county tri-state. So it seemed reasonable, and still does to some extent, to do that, to plant one tree for every citizen and really kind of get everybody behind it, try to get the word out to the community. Thanks for having us. And, get everybody excited about it, talking about it, because, you know, we've just spent 5-10 minutes talking about a lot of challenges to trees. And it's easy to get discouraged and think, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't plant trees or whatever. No, we need to plant trees, and we need to fight this by planting trees. We need them in so many different ways. You consider almost any social or environmental issue that we're facing, they're almost all made a little bit better by planting more trees. So we need to get out there, and we need to do it.
I think it's definitely doable, Scott. 2 million trees. That's one tree per person. So if a family of
what's the big deal? Come on, one tree a person.
One tree a person. And if you live in an apartment, go to a friend's place, volunteer in your community, plant a tree.
Donate money to Taking Root. We'll plant trees for you.
Right. And again, our vision is that every church, every synagogue, every school, every business that has property, obviously the publicly owned facilities, that everybody thinks, what can I do, not only at my own home, but at my church, synagogue, business, community center, to take that property and reforest it in some way. Now, there's a tradition here, as Scott is so articulate in describing. In 1882, Cincinnati was the place where the American urban forestry movement was founded.
Yeah,
correct.
Here in the 1870s and 80s. Yeah. So we've got that legacy to carry on, and we need to do it. We want to do it.
Scott, what kind of progress have you made so far?
We've done quite a bit. The resonance in this community around this has been pretty phenomenal. Every group, everybody we talk to really gets excited about the idea. One thing Cincinnatians do take a lot of pride in is the canopy that we have here. It's part of our identity as a community. And, this might be a good point to mention the summit we're having in a couple weeks, January 31st at the zoo. That's our chance to come out and tell everybody everything we've done and everything we're planning to do.
So what are the hours for the summit?
The summit runs from 10 to probably about 1 o'clock Saturday morning, January 31st. Registration is free, so come on out. Takingroot.info website is where you can register. And we have lots of stuff to do. We're going to tell our story. That will be a relatively small part of the program. We have lots of good speakers, including Vice Mayor David Mann, Jim Henning from Duke Energy, Marion Loader from the from MSD, and Dave Gamstetter from the Parks. Lots of people coming out to give perspective and advise what their different groups are doing. But the best part is a segment where we're going to issue awards to people who've done really good work, not only this year and in response to Taking Root, but in years past. There's quite a few groups that really are out there really doing it, and we want to get the recognition to them that they deserve.
So you've got a lot of good community support for this effort going.
Yes, we do. Yes, and it's growing.
Now, is there an ideal tree to plant, or just any tree?
Well, to go back to Jenny, what she was just talking about,
diversity
is so
important, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been pressure. Hey, give us that 10 best tree list. We've really resisted. There's good references, good places to go to learn more trees, and really, this is a chance to be expressive. Learn your trees. Pick the one that's perfect out for you. This is a chance for the diversity of people to be reflected in the diversity of plants that go into the landscapes.
But you're going to get benefits from any tree you plant, right, Jennifer?
That's my opinion, but I'm biased. I'm a forester and an arborist. The other great thing about the summit is it's going to be a fabulous opportunity for people to see how and where they can help. There's going to be lots of volunteer opportunities, sign-up sheets. You want to work at schools. You want to work in Northern Kentucky. You have certain skills that Taking Root needs, whether it's an hour or 10 hours or 100 hours in a year, we'll have opportunities for people to get involved.
You're talking about Northern Kentucky. How does the Kentucky Roots campaign tie into all this?
It is it's a supportive effort by the Northern Kentucky and Urban Community Forestry Council to raise awareness about proper tree planting and care. So we're playing on, you know, Kentucky's obvious love of the state and the roots and sense of place, and it's just getting the message out in many ways of how they can take care of trees. So it supports Taking Root, and that website is kyroots.org. It's got great, very simple how to plant, how to care.
Mm-hmm. But I should just say, Mark, one of the things that Taking Root really does is get everybody to be thinking, what more can I do as a park district, as a nature center, as a municipality or community or business? So, for example, Great Parks of Hamilton County initially had a plan to plant 30,000 trees over the next few years. Okay, they got so inspired by this project that Jack Sutton, the director of Great Parks, doubled their target. So now their goal is to plant 60,000 trees. I mean, which is a heck of a challenge for the staff, right? and their volunteers, but they are meeting that challenge. They're getting corporate partners to help with the actual planting and acquiring large numbers of trees. I plan on 12,000 this year alone. So the bottom line is that we're challenging each other to go the extra mile to help meet this ambitious but doable goal. What's one tree per person in this region? That's doable.
All right. Taking Root doesn't want to usurp anybody's, you know, tree planting efforts. We want to be the cheerleader. We want to inspire them and spur them on. So we want to work collaboratively. And so that's what we see our main role as.
Scott, has the zoo lost a lot of trees to insects and various things? And how do you remove a tree been killed by these kind of things?
Fortunately, at the zoo, we do have a very diverse collection of plants that of trees that have been there for many years and continually planted over time. So we lost very little as far as ash. I think we lost 17 trees out of 75 acres. So we're very fortunate in that regard. And it does point out the benefits of a diverse, landscape. As far as removal, boy, there's some real wizards when you come to these tree companies that come in with equipment and with skilled climbers, and even in a tight location with lots of things to damage beneath them, they can pull them out of there safely.
Now, one of the things that makes removal tricky is that the invasive insect might still be living in that dead tree.
We were just talking about that before. Now, yeah, those insects aren't going to pose a threat to the climbers or the workers. But what is a problem is if you let that dead tree go too long before removal, of course, it gets soft and rots in place, and it gets to a point where it cannot be safely removed. So if you have a dead tree because of ash borer or other issues near the targets, houses, cars, people, better to get to that sooner than later.
I guess another important point to stress is if you're a homeowner who's looking to get rid of a tree that's been killed by one of these things, then look for a reputable removal service.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cannot stress enough that start with a certification, ISA certification. That should be your baseline, and then go from there.
Since I was very lucky, we have a very good tree service and landscape industry here. But there's so many experts out there that can give people really great advice, do really great work, do it safely, do it right. So definitely look for a certified arborist.
Scott, we talk about planting trees. When we talk about managing the forest better, what kinds of things are we talking about there?
That's actually a better question for Jenny, okay. Really.
Oh. Go for it, Jenny. All right. Yeah.
So now we're moving from the individual landscape tree into like wooded areas.
Right. What do we mean when we say teaching people better management techniques with trees?
Well, if you do own a wooded area a lot, even a backyard that has, it's more natural, the important thing is to, again, look at the diversity of it. maybe start planning for the future. That's what Mother Nature does, starts another understory of different trees to take the place of the older trees, removing the honeysuckle or other invasive plants so that the native plants can come in. It's really about trying to go back to our natural ecosystem as much as possible. And that in an urban or developed area does require management. Removing diseased trees or removing invasive plants and monitoring the forest for other conditions like that or threats.
So managing this tree crisis that we're facing is going to take a multifaceted approach, isn't
it? Will. Yeah.
But, you know, so much what we're talking about here really is trying to address the question of what kind of community do we really want to have going forward here. Do we want to have a place that is devastated, that where the natural tree canopy is wiped out over time? Or do we want to have one that continues to value the quality of our natural environment with all the benefits of habitat and stormwater management and scenic beauty, and also connecting kids and adults to the natural world here in our own backyard? So one of the reasons why people want to live here and enjoy living here is, hey, we have a lot of natural resources and assets right in our own backyard. You don't have to go to Portland, Oregon to go to a park on the weekend or after work or ride a bike or go paddling. We have so many assets right here. So it's really about preserving and enhancing that for the legacy, for the future. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more effective as an entry drug to get kids engaged in and appreciate the natural world than planting and maintaining a tree. It's the hook to get young kids into what we all care deeply about.
Scott, again, the website, if people want more information?
Takingroot.info.
Okay.
And January 31st, the summit.
And you can find a link to that website at WVXU.org as well. Brewster, Jennifer, and Scott, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you.
Brewster Rhodes, Executive Director of Green Umbrella Regional Sustainability Alliance, Jennifer Gulick, Senior Urban Forestry Consultant with the Davie Resource Group and Taking Root Co-Chair, and Scott Berline, Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden Horticulturist and Chairman of Taking Root. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next.